Before we get to that path of the life to come, I'd like for us to consider here 16:8. It says, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. So how was it that the Holy One was able to keep his strength during all of this, his costly journey? If there was ever anyone with the unbearable weight of the world on his shoulders, he certainly would have been the one. With the information available, we won't be able to conclude this for sure, but I suspect, at least in part, there was a strength to be found in the trail of echoes that he had left for himself over a millennium prior to his journey. Echoes like the one we are considering in our hands today, Psalm 16. This Mikdam, penned by David, had been engraved into the religious culture of that day. Even though they did not understand it, they carried it forward with them, right? Engraved in the canonized scripture of that time, scripture that the Holy One would have been fully familiar with, and along with David's added melody, the Holy One could have sung this Mitchum to us in its full-throated meaning. What then would this Mitchum have reminded the Holy One of to strengthen him onward? Well, let's go from the beginning here. Let's look here. Verse 1, preserve me, O God, for in thee I do put my trust. The path of life is a path of trust. Who is to know what has been, what is to come, what will happen to us along the journey? All any of us really have is the ability to trust in God, the Almighty One, just as thine Holy One is singing in this Mitchum here. The Lord, verse 5, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. Jehovah is all that any of us really needs. He is everything, inheritance and cup. Having given ourselves over to that fact, it is Jehovah, our everything, only. Not ourselves or the resources or intervention of any other. That maintains our personal lot. The Holy One reminds himself down in the deepest octaves. Psalms 16:6 now. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Now many would look at that, look what has occurred to him or to us or, you know, and say that it has become a terrible place, with no heritage other than the death common to us, only quite a bit quicker. Shouldn't we also remind ourselves by these long-distant echoes from BC 1042 that inheritance is much, much greater than what from this sinful place it appears? Verse 7, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. Ah, there is a counsel in the skies and on the ground, on the waters and the sunset. There is a counsel in the sacred writings, the honest discussion of which, in the prayers and in the worship, in the fastings and feasts and appointed times, in the fabric of a man's heart, that has been touched by God. There is instruction even in the night seasons. Verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Why then fret? Why then stand weakened? Where else might I be moved and by whom else? Who else is capable to move me if Jehovah is set before me and at my right hand? Verse 9. Therefore my heart is glad, my glory rejoiceth, my flesh also shall rest in hope. I tell you, one rehearsal of this song into my remembrance, and I'm feeling strengthened to sing it out loud a couple hundred more times to get everyone else in the camp awake and ready for any journey this path of life has in store for us. How about you? So what should the Holy One expect? Should this path of life come down to him dying on a cross in order to defeat it? Well, it's there in Psalm 16:10. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Should we expect anything different happen to those whom he has called to be his children by means of his paid in full redemption?